This is Star Wars in Character, the podcast that takes a closer look at some of the characters in the Star Wars universe you probably never noticed. Backstories, histories, and details you never knew, wanted to know, or ever need to know. Now here are this week's panelists of Star Wars in Character.
Welcome to this special best of episode of Star Wars in Character. We're presenting this special episode to fill in this week's podcast slot while we take a little extra time to prepare for our big live 50th episode webcast. That's coming up Sunday, April 22nd at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can catch that live webcast at www.newsaz.com/SWICLive. That's S-W-I-C live. I'm Matt from the podcast and from NeoZaz.com, and to introduce the entire podcast panelist, here's Chris reading the names the way only Chris can.
My name is Chewie Chris, Clone Commander Chris, Lando Calrissian, Mon Calamari Chris, George Lucris, Giano Chris, Safaj Ab Chris, Zuck Chris Lou, Saleh Chris Crum, Irving Krishner, Darth Play Chris. Kit Christo. I've got a bad feeling about Chris. Today I am joined by Minoc Matt, Handmaiden Matt, Matt Windu, Walrus Man Matt, Matt At, Gamat Ian Guard, Mandalorian, Augmat, King Matt Chucho, Jedi Master, John Matzenberger, Matthew Baca, IG Matty 8, Matt's No Moon. To my right, Darth Dave, Count Dooku Dave, Biggs Darklighter Dave, Yo Dave, Dagobah Dave, Dagobah.
Didn't you just say that on the last one?
Imperial Star Dave Stroyer, Count Dave Koo, Locke Dird Dave, Life Dave, Billy Dave Williams, Command Dave Cody, Dave Oopy McCool. The Force will be with you, all Daves. And Tauntaun Tim, Tarful Tim, Qui-Gon Tim, Anakin Skywalker Tim, Tim Tween, Tim Iron Engine, Creature Cantima, Timlon Voss, King Katimko, The Jedi Temple, Cap Tim Nita, Tim 16 Skyhopper, Jack Pork Tims. I was going to do the Timshi station to buy some cat power converters.
I think you added three more words to that line.
I think I did. I'm going to turn right at the Mos Eisley Cantina and the power converters.
That, of course, was a montage of some of the best names Chris has come up with and have been submitted by listeners through our Facebook page or by emailing us at swic@neozaz.com. And to end each list of names was the first instance Chris used a quote from the Star Wars saga, as requested by Ashton on our Facebook page. This is the second best of episode we've put together, and the last time we featured the first 12 episodes of the podcast. So we're going to pick up where we left off and continue with the next 12 episodes, episodes 13 through 24. And along the way, we'll also mix in a few more requests made on our Facebook page. But to start things off, from episode 13, featuring the character Ula, here's a clip called The Original Wardrobe Malfunction.
No one's yet mentioned that this was the original Janet Jackson nipple slip.
I was waiting.
From the Star Wars galaxy. And I think me and Tim might be the only two people on this podcast that might have even saw her nipple in real life.
Yes. Before we tell that story, I do remember watching Return of the Jedi with Chris when we came to that realization. It may have been before the special editions even came out. I was over at Chris's house watching Return of the Jedi with him, and we noticed there's nipple.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And we like stopped and rewind. This is on VHS. We're rewinding and
pausing just, it for the lines.
Yeah. We're like, what? Oh yeah.
Same thing happened to me. It was like, I was working at the theater that we all worked at together, and I was putting together, the prints. It was a late Thursday night, early Friday morning, and I had Return of the Jedi going, and I happened to look up right at that scene, and that's when I noticed it. I'm like, did I just see what I thought I saw? And I did the same exact thing you just described.
Yeah. It's like, oh my God.
So, I mean, I'd seen that. That was like, what? When did we work there in the 90s? So that was like, you know, what? Almost 10 years later, and I never noticed it before.
For being on Tatooine, it was awfully cold. in the Rancor.
What I found astounding right away was that they bothered to paint it all green in the first place, thinking that this could actually happen.
Yeah, yeah, true. Yeah.
You'd think they'd put like a pasty over it. I mean, really?
Even two.
Yeah, if they're going to go as far as to paint the whole breast green, then you'd think they'd want to, you say, well, you know, if we think it's going to pop out, maybe we should do something. Well, not that I complained, especially, you know.
Both George and Richard Marquand were like, no, no.
I am so aroused.
I'm surprised they didn't cut it out. Cut it out of the special edition. Because I'm kind of like you guys, even worse. I knew that you could always see through her mesh top. Mm-hmm. In fact, we met her and we get autographed pictures by her. The picture is basically her topless. Yes. And it's like one of those things like I own and I have in a frame and I can't hang up because my son coming and staring at, what are you doing in there, buddy?
Nothing.
Staring at Ula. But I didn't know until we were just doing this that, you know, the whole thing actually comes heaving out. So
things are flopping about.
I had no idea.
I'm with you, Dave. I'm surprised that by the time we saw the special edition in theaters, I kept my eyes open because I wanted to see how they were going to edit it out because I fully expected them to edit it out. And to my surprise, that scene remained untouched.
Right. So for all
just
of
wait,
us,
just wait for the Blu-ray.
3D.
It's probably
3D.
It's probably the first boob that all of us saw, and we don't even know
it. Yeah,
you're exactly right.
Yeah, maybe. It was either that or zapped.
Episode 14 featured prequel pod racer extraordinaire Sebulba. In this clip, Tim showcases his sports history knowledge in what we're calling Sebulba Cobb.
He says something about how in the scenes that he would kill Anakin if he weren't a slave.
And Tim.
And why does he say that? Because if he kills him, he'd have to pay for him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I guess if you kill a slave, it's property. It's kind of like if you knock over someone's fence, you got to pay to have it rebuilt.
Did you hear what just happened there with that pause? I could tell you what happened pause Tim said. You asked that question and Tim's mind went, I have no idea how to answer this. Yes.
Yes.
Because he says he says if you weren't a slave, I'd squash you now or something like that. That's almost like a quote right from the movie.
Yeah, that probably is.
Well, I guess since Sebulba at one time was a slave, he does know the inner workings of the slave industry. Hmm. So, yeah, he must know something more than the average person. He's a great pod racer but he's also like a brute and a cheater. And when we were doing this, I was trying to think of like real life athletes to compare him to. And I initially was thinking like he was the Gretzky or Michael Jordan of pod racing.
Asshole.
Well, no, those are the first two minds because I was thinking the best of the best. But then I was thinking, since he was such a badass.
No, you need to compare him to a fake sport like American Gladiators. He was the Nitro of pod racing.
Well, Bill Laimbeer, combat basketball.
Tim, you can't compare. All right.
He was a Wesley Snipes of Future Ball or whatever the hell that movie was called.
A rollerball.
Yeah.
You can't compare. If you want to do that, that's probably a good idea. There are dozens of baseball players who either stick needles in their asses or cork their bats, and you're going to go for the two greatest athletes.
Well, those are the first two because I was thinking best, but then I can't. Then I really started thinking about it.
Gretzky
and the name that
cheated.
No, Gretzky never cheated.
Jordan never cheated.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Well, and I was even going to like even more obscure people like Detroit Red Wings Bob Probert, but I love Probert though.
Chris Pronger is probably the better one to go with.
Yeah, yeah. Does he play for Nashville?
No, he plays for the Flyers. No. I think he's played for every team at one point in his career. Yeah.
He's doing the world tour.
Yeah.
No, I was thinking he's the Ty Cobb of pod racing.
That's a good analogy.
Yeah.
Because Ty Cobb was a total ass. Just a dickhead and a half.
Great. One of the greatest players of all time. Son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch. Killed a man, shot a man, went to a game.
Flaming racist.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good analogy, Tim. I like
so he's the Ty Cobb of pod racing. Yeah, I was thinking about it.
Said poodoo a lot.
Yeah, poodoo, among other things.
Well, turn to our request list for our next segment. Requested by Zach from our Facebook page, this clip is from episode 44 about Quinlan Voss, and it's what happens when Dave gets a little too bored by the character's backstory.
So anyway, after his parents were killed, he was brought to Coruscant, and he to start his regular Jedi training. Now there was nothing keeping him on his home planet, so they let him go and be trained as a Jedi the standard way. And as a young Padawan, he actually trained alongside Obi-Wan Kenobi, and during this time, he became pretty close friends with Obi. You know, he's with his master Tholme, and while he was still a Padawan on a mission, they were on the planet Ryloth, and he discovered an infant Twi'lek by the name of Aayla Secura. So it was through Voss's efforts and his discovery of Secura that she was actually brought into the Jedi Order.
Oh, you gotta pardon my laughter. But somebody, and it's not me who's talking. This thing's so boring. He went to the bathroom. Hey, Tim, hold on. I'll be right too.
All right. Well, I'll just keep going. I'll just keep going.
He put down the headphones and said, "I'm gonna go to the bathroom."
I wish I could do that, but then there'd just be nothing but dead air.
Go ahead. That's good. This is great.
So, he discovers Aayla Secura, who's another very popular character, but she actually appears in the movies for more than one shot. And Aayla Secura eventually becomes Quinlan Voss's Padawan learner.
I thought Quinlan Voss's name came up as like Yaddle's master at one point, or am I just imagining that?
No, Quinlan Voss did come up on a previous episode, but I can't remember where he popped in. It may have been on Yaddle's episode, but no, I'm not sure. I can't remember where we had brought him up.
Okay, but the name did come up, and I'm just imagining that.
No, I believe he was mentioned at some point.
I would be seriously worried if I imagined things like that. So thank you for verifying that.
Okay, and you know he discovers Aayla Secura. That was a couple of years before the Battle of Naboo, and then we eventually. And I'm skipping over these things because on Quinlan Voss's biography, it goes into like micro details. It's kind of like the four LOM entry where it's just micro detail about every time he ever left the house. They write about it.
And but Willow Hood has nothing. I don't understand.
there's no justice.
That's right.
Now here's the thing. We get to the point now where it's Phantom Menace era. Quinlan Voss is on Tatooine when Qui-Gon and Padme and Obi-Wan are escaping Naboo and trying to get to Coruscant. And we actually see Quinlan Voss there in Mos Espa. It's the scene where Jar Jar is eating that frog thing and he has to pay 7 whoopee whoopees. And and it gets tossed into Sebulba's soup and Sebulba decides to beat him up. Quinlan Voss is sitting right there. He's literally 2 feet away. But the funny thing is when you watch the movie, almost every shot he's in, he only has like one shot where it's like really clearly you can see his face. There's shots where there's like a stick in front of his face or something is obscuring his face. You can see his body, but you can't see his face.
This is all I know him from is the fact that he's in episode one. And I think, again, this is back in the day when we first tossed around the idea of this podcast. And I know the picture you're talking about. I'm actually trying to find it now. It's very hard to... Even with people doing screen grabs off the Blu-rays, it's very hard to pinpoint them.
Yeah, it's I would never have known that where he was if it wasn't for the vintage card, because it's sort of I kind of figured out what scene that was from. So when I went and saw it in the theaters last week, I was like, there he is, I found him. And again, here's the incompleteness of his entry on Wikipedia is I'm not really sure what he was doing on Tatooine. They said that he was,
that was going to be explained. Well, great.
I was hoping it was going to be explained. Also, he was there on some sort of undercover mission. But you'd think if he saw Qui-Gon walking through the streets of Mos Espa, you'd think he would at least try to, because they know he knows who Qui-Gon is, and Qui-Gon, I would assume, knows who he is. You would think that one of them would say something to the other without breaking their, you know, cover. I don't think he would break his cover to talk to this vagrant walking through the street.
That's, you know, and yeah, that's kind of my point. It's that they don't ever acknowledge each other, and especially when Darth Maul comes into the picture, you think there'd be some kind of heightened sense of Force awareness, and Quinlan Voss might come help, but I guess not.
It's a poorly retconned history for this.
Yeah, because he's sitting right there at his.
Oh, Dave's back.
I'm back. Chris, you're almost at the paper.
This is the Best of Star Wars in Character Volume 2, a special episode we're presenting in preparation for our 50th episode live webcast at newsaz.com/SWIC live. That takes place April 22nd at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we certainly hope to see you there. This is the second live webcast we've done. The first one, we had an absolute blast, and we hope to have as much, if not more, fun on our 50th episode. Moving on with the best of clips, this is from episode 15 about the Wampa, and in this clip, we talk a little bit about the Wampa's appetite in food and other things.
Are there other things living on Hoth besides the Wampas and the Tauntauns, or are they the only, like you said, that's its main prey? Does it have a choice?
Well, it's funny because I even sort of referenced some of the video games. So if we go all the way to Super Empire Strikes Back for the Super Nintendo, there's a Hoth Hog, Icy Jellyfish, Ice Piranha, and Ice Cat, and Snow Bear. So take your pick.
So you guys making fun of me saying the Wampa ice creature isn't that funny now, is it? Because of the ice cat.
Icy Jellyfish, come on.
The Icy Jellyfish.
Icy Jellyfish.
So Icy Jellyfish, too, in the ocean.
There is a plethora of things for the Wampa to eat.
Yes.
Wow. I had no idea.
That's why they get so goddamn big.
Yeah. I don't know how plentiful Tauntauns are, so.
Well, I'm sure we'll do a Tauntaun podcast.
Well, not that they can endanger them by riding them after the sunset in Hoth like they're nothing. It's like, yeah, it's just a Tauntaun. Exactly. We'll find another one.
The Wampa is at the top of Hoth's food chain. It has no natural enemies until, you know, their big game hunters come or the Rebel Alliance.
Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, or Luke, yes. The male Wampas are sensitive to high-pitched noises, sounds that were similar to females looking to mate.
Oh,
so yeah. It's thought that the probe droid that landed on Hoth was emitting that high-pitched noise, and so apparently it turned on
a Wampa. Are you saying the Wampa wanted to fuck the probe droid?
I'm saying, yeah, probably. He heard that noise, and he came out, and he was looking to get some nookie, get a little Wampa strange, and... And I don't know about you, I'd be pretty pissed too if I was, you know, wanted to get some action and you come upon a little blonde-haired, blue-eyed farm boy and where you think you're going to see a hot steaming Wampa lady.
I thought you were going to say I'd be a little mad too if the thing I was about to mount just blew up. Next up with episode 16 featuring Tarful from Revenge of the Sith. And this clip showcases one of the rarest occurrences on the podcast. Tim has something bad to say about the prequels.
I'm of all the prequels, I do enjoy episode 3. I like episode 3, and I will watch it from time to time and really like it. That scene, that Order 66 scene, to me is one of the, it's probably to me the best scene in the prequels. The way they managed to do away with all those Jedis at once, and it's in some cases incredibly tragic.
Yeah.
And that death with Cody Mundi, where he's leading the battle and he just stops and nobody's following him. He turns around and they just gun him down there.
Those are great. And Yoda's you know, they're unable to get Yoda, but you know, he gets the two guys and then kind of hops on Chewbacca's back.
Now that scene there, that is what I don't get. Okay, this is here. Okay, your two Chewbaccas or your two Wookiees, you're standing there, and your little green friend is behind you, and then all of a sudden, with no provocation, you see him jump up and cut the head off of one of your allies, and without thinking, you say, "Hey, let's run away with this little green guy who just cut the head off of that guy." We have no idea why he did that. It's just it. I think if I was with the three of you guys, and Matt turned around and cut Chris's head off, and then expected us to run away with them, be like, whoa, hold on.
So you're saying that the Wookiees wouldn't have understood what was going on and been able to just give him a piggyback ride.
Yeah. I would have said, what the hell did you just do? And why did you do that? I'm not taking you anywhere, you psycho.
Could they have known that you kind of hear them, I don't know how you prepare a blaster for firing, but you hear them kind of cock the gun. They must have known. I mean, they're animals. They have like an intuition. They must have known that they were about to attack him.
I don't know. It just seemed too quick. It just seemed like, okay, he just cut that guy's head off. Let's run away with him. Let's get him to safety because he's obviously the good guy. But I don't know. I know that there are several scenes where you can debate, you know, the plausibility, but that's the one scene in episode 3 that jumps out at being, ah.
Well, how do you feel about the fact that not only do they give him the piggyback ride, but they take him to this pod that's in the middle of nowhere, and why is that pod there? When did they put it there? Why is it a bush covering it? And
the pod, I don't understand either. I would think by the time they got to the pod, he would have explained what had happened. But just that initial, I just cut that guy's head off, get me out of here. It's just a little too quick for me.
The action in those two scenes, I think, is really well done. Now, Matt, I know you don't like the prequels. Can you appreciate any of the, at least, I mean, I know that the stories, I think the storyline is probably what bothers you the most. Can you appreciate just from an action scene standpoint, either of those scenes?
I've been asleep for the past 20 minutes. Can you fill me in on what we're talking about?
Since this is a best of episode put together in preparation for our live 50th episode webcast, it seems only appropriate to play a request that was made from our first live episode, episode 25. By request via our Facebook page by listener Liam, here is the first round of trivia from our first live webcast.
Because he is up at the crack of dawn at 3:30 a.m., as you mentioned on our Facebook page, I'd like to give the honor of the first question to Peter. Okay, so Peter, I know you're out there. And
Peter just wrote that his mouth is too tired. I'm not sure what that means.
Well,
oh my God.
But this is what we're going to do. More. Peter, we appreciate your dedication. In fact, Peter, you're more dedicated than some of the people on the show at this point. But we're going to give you the first question.
Note who the camera's on, by the way.
And here is the question. Now, we're going to do all multiple choice for this because I'm telling you, we're doing straight random questions out of a book, and some of these are ball busters, okay? But here you go, Peter. This is your question. First representative of the chat room, here you go.
Peter.
Into what category do Rodians fall? A, mammalian. B, reptilian. C, amphibian. Or D, avian?
Just watching Chris. What did you say, Dave? I missed everything you just said. I was watching Chris mug for the camera.
Into what category do Rodians fall? A, mammalian. B, reptilian. C, amphibian. Or D, avian, I assume meaning birds.
I think Peter and just picked D.
Peter has selected D. So we shall see if it is D.
Oh, wait. No,
he's debating.
Remember there's a delay.
Remember there's a delay here, so let him submit his final answer.
Yes, we can do it that way.
He said A, I think.
When you're ready for your final answer, chat room people, please type final answer and then A. Well, he has a capital A. So I think he's going with A.
Final A,
with
A, yep. Peter? He said final A.
Final A.
That is incorrect.
Oh!
The answer is B, reptilian.
What was that?
This is why you lost the war.
Oh, man. God damn it, Tim. I can't edit this.
German.
Do you know how much... The only editing for content I've ever had to do on this show is because of Tim. And now I'm screwed.
Oh, Peter, he's American. He knows why they lost the war.
I think Dave just said too
that
soon.
That was harsh. Darth Vicky, that was harsh. Dave, too soon.
Give me a, Tim, give me an example of a Rodian.
There's Greedo.
Okay, Greedo's a Rodian, so he's a reptilian. I just needed one. You don't need to go into all kinds of details.
Yeah, because
there's Harpo. Oprah.
Isn't that Oprah backwards?
Oprah, yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Greedo. Dave did. That's awesome.
Dave did.
Okay, so we got some more facts about Wilmanf Targan?
Wilhelm.
Damn it, I keep
missing. During the Clone Wars.
Okay, back to trivia.
Yes!
Episode 17 featured Figurin Dan and the Modal Nodes, better known as the Cantina Band. Here's a clip from the episode called An Unfortunate Choice of Words.
He's Fiery Figurin Dan. He has a nickname.
That was his nickname, Fiery Figurin Dan.
And how did he earn this nickname? Because this is like...
It's hot.
This is like Mad Max Weinberg from Bruce Springsteen and E Street Band. Like, how has he become... Fiery is he just?
I don't know where he got that name, but I guess he's just.
You have to give it to the concerts, and then you know why.
Yeah, yeah. If you haven't seen him live, Dave.
Yeah,
you said it.
You haven't truly seen. Does he light his boombox, whatever he set on fire, a la Hendrix?
Yeah.
I would hope so. His Omnibox.
Omnibox.
I thought that was done by the Taylock or something.
Techmore.
Okay, whatever.
I don't know. I don't know what his instrument is called. I don't know what that clarinet thing that he's playing is called.
It's a modal chode.
When I was looking it up, I saw the name, but I didn't really think it was important enough to write down what the instrument names were. But for some reason, I wrote Omnibox. Now here's something. The musical genre that they play.
Oh God.
Someone probably lost their job over this because in a book they named the genre as jizz.
Like jazz with an I.
Yeah. Yeah. Jizz. They called it. But then I guess somewhere along the line, someone pointed out the writer as to the author as to what jizz is in real world slang. So they changed it to jats. Which I don't know if that's much better, but
yeah. This is supposed to be like the Star Wars universe's version of jazz, not pop music.
Yeah, I guess. Okay. I guess pop music would be what the Max Rebo band plays with Lopty Neck and that other special edition song.
I see that the instrument he plays is called a clohorn. So he blows into a clohorn and produces some jizz.
Go on.
Only if he plays it right.
Chris has just started paying attention. He was playing on his iPad. Now he's awake.
I hear jizz.
Now the song that they play, that's probably, I would say that the Cantina Band theme song, that's probably the second most famous Star Wars song. As soon as you play that song, that Cantina Band song, even if you've never seen Star Wars, I think people know that that's immediately Star Wars.
I agree. I think these are probably the most recognizable group or scene for non-Star Wars fans. People have only ever seen the movie once or seen references to it. I would go out on a limb and say that this is the most recognizable character for non-fans.
Yeah.
You're absolutely.
Yeah, I think the character... And the song. I mean, you could play the song. You could probably go into the outback of Australia and find someone who's never been to the movies and played in the Cantina Band song, and they'd know it was Star Wars. It's one of the most famous pieces of music.
I think that the song really like explains who they are and stuff. But guarantee when you ask people what they look like, they'd guarantee say ass heads. I think that's the second well-known trait of these guys, butt heads.
Captain Panaka was a focus of episode 18 and perhaps the least liked character we've discussed on the podcast. Despite the entire panel not liking this character, the episode seemed to never end as demonstrated in this clip.
I think we're ready for Matt's website, hopefully.
You're just like, you cannot wait to stop talking about
There's
this guy.
To talk about.
I have a lot to say about Captain Who.
Captain Who.
Who was in Doctor Who, right?
Captain Hanky Panky.
He was also on an some episodes of The Tomorrow People, which was a show I used to watch when I was a kid, but I don't remember any of those episodes.
And you said, man, that guy looks really Star Warsy.
I probably would have thought that, man.
If only.
That would have been awesome. I can't wait till they make episode one and he's the chief security officer of Naboo.
He does nothing.
Who fails miserably at every turn.
Shoots the glass, that's it.
Shoots the glass.
Oh, well.
Hey, Dentim?
Broken glass is dangerous. I'm done.
Matt, do you got a website about?
I do have a website. And ironically, because we were making fun of his name, I found it from making fun of his name. It's called a site called mypokecard.com, and they made up a fake Pokemon card for him because of his name, I think.
I'm laughing.
Oh, wait, before.
Oh, come on.
Before you go really? On to this, I'm sorry. There's one thing I need to add.
Oh, God. Is this Tarful 2? I mean,
no.
Is he a basketball player for another foreign land or something?
No. In Brazil, and I would assume in Portugal, they had to change his name.
To?
Hold on, let me look it up.
Tell us?
Whatever.
They had to change his name because Panaka in Portuguese
means
douchebag.
Well, now that I think Lucas would have actually thought out.
It means like basically an asshole.
Well, I take it back. I think George put more thought into the prequels than I ever gave him credit for.
That's the best fact, Tim. Just erase the whole podcast except this little part.
You should have led with that, Tim.
I can't see what they changed it to. My computer's running slow, but it was like Panassus or something like that.
Panass.
They had to change it to Panassi. Oh, Panassi. We can make that dirty too.
Please.
All right.
So anyway.
Yeah, Panassi.
Oh my
sorry.
God, really? Are you done, Tim? Seriously?
Please, Tim.
Fuck.
I'm done. I'm sorry.
Okay. I don't even care about my site anymore. Tim ruined this whole show. We're going back to the request list for our next clip. Listener and Facebook page member Brett requested a clip from our special episode about the Star Wars Holiday Special. For this clip, we have a behind-the-scenes recording, a recording made during the preparation of this special episode. This is the never-before-released clip of the first time Chris used the Star Wars Holiday soundboard.
Do I hit run?
Yeah.
Yep. There it is.
Look at that!
Does it work?
Hold on, let me close this one out. Can I close this one out, Dave?
Yeah. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Yeah, I didn't call you yet, Tim.
What, you're not ready for Tim?
What's the emergency sound stop?
That's for when it's playing. If you hit one you didn't mean to hit, it'll stop the sounds. You know, like the other one should have when you blow my eardrums out.
Did you make these, Matt?
Yeah.
This is awesome.
Some of them are late because I thought they were going to be funny, but they're stupid. But since they're already done, they're there. So some suck, but some are pretty funny.
Tauntaun tap dancing.
Did you? So there isn't a soundboard for this, and you made one?
Yeah.
Are you going to put this on the website?
I could, yeah. I didn't think of that.
People would love this, I bet.
You don't know where he is?
That reminds me of, what did you say?
Solo.
Man, it's this.
I said, I'll take it.
Oh, yeah, do that one. Sir, whip, sir, whip, 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 see. Oh.
Oh, yes.
Oh!
Oh, yes.
got to talk about that scene.
Yeah, no shit.
We are excited, aren't we?
Oh, my God.
I think in the next one.
We can have a good time.
Happy life day.
Walkie-yokies? Walkie-yokies?
Where's your daddy?
You are foolish to waste your kindness on this dumb creature.
Just one more round, friend. Then homeward bound, friend. Don't forget me.
Is it the whole song?
Emergency no, stop. No. Yeah, so you might need to emergency stop on that one.
Look at Lumpy. Look at Lumpy.
Oh, jeez.
Happy life day, everyone.
Hey, don't play that last one yet. Save that for a surprise.
What the?
The very last one. The bonus part, one, yeah.
Use sparingly. What is that, oh, is that for real? Just,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, I won't hit it.
We serve.
Where'd you stop? This is great, man.
You have to put this up because people end up using this.
Right.
The Google search for like Star Wars soundboard and this will come up.
That's true. I didn't even think of that. I was thinking more just to for Chris give something to Chris to do during the show.
God, yeah, this was a this was terrible.
Episode 19 was originally about the bounty hunter for LOM, and when we prepared to record this episode, we knew we'd also be talking about Zuckuss. We pretty much guessed the two characters had backstories and intertwined, but we had no idea how much until Tim started to tell us the both characters' backstories. Here's just a small part of that long, detailed story from the 4LOM episode.
They had a one particular mission, and again, I didn't go into the details of these missions because in the details, it'd always be like they were seeking out this one person who I'd never heard of, and I didn't really want to go and figure out who they were. But on one particular mission, prior to their appearance at Empire Strikes Back, Zuckuss was injured when his breathing mask was knocked off of his face, and he brought in a few breaths of toxic oxygen and severely injured his lungs. So from that point on, 4LOM.
Jeez, Chris, what are you laughing at? That's terrible. Well, I got hurt.
I'm picturing Zuckuss in a hospital room with foil on outside, pacing back and forth. Like,
that's pretty much how it was.
I was picturing 4LOM grabbing him by the head, going, "I'll breathe for you," and smashing his teeth against his metal face because he has no mouth.
But it's at this point, this is where the Dog Day Afternoon stuff sort of comes in. So 4LOM starts taking any bounty hunting job he can get, so we can get a little scratch together to help pay for Zuckuss's medical needs. So
I love that Tim can barely hold back his laughter telling this story.
It's so ridiculous. It is so ridiculous. He took they were taking the, you know, go find my puppy. And he's like, how much will this? But we'll give you three cards. All right. You know, he's taking any job possible so he can help Zuckuss.
He's delivering newspapers between jobs. It's riding a bike, throwing papers in the front yards. I want my $2.
They eventually took a bounty from the Rebel Alliance to track and capture an Imperial governor by the name of Nardix.
What was that?
Yeah.
Narf what?
Nardix. I kid you.
Wait,
Nardix.
I want that to be my permanent nickname. Nardix, Matt.
So they track down this governor, this Imperial governor, and they bring him to the rebels. And Governor Nardix is executed by the Alliance.
Really? Ooh, wait a minute.
I always thought the Alliance were kind of the good guys. Yeah, took the high road.
I was with this story, you know. Oh, sure, you're going to capture someone to get some information, yada, 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 or use them as leverage. But, man, you kind of threw me for a loop there when you said kill them.
No, capital punishment. You know, I would have thought that would be an Imperial thing, but nope. They took this job even though they knew that it would get them blacklisted with Imperial assignments in the future. But for LOM, he needed some scratch to help Zuckuss out because Zuckuss had a hard time breathing. He had really bad asthma at this point.
Mm.
Asthma.
But then they decided to risk their own safety because they need the cash by taking the bounty on Han Solo. And then it brings us to their famous scene in Empire Strikes Back.
Their 15 seconds of fame, literally.
Yep.
So I guess Zuckus got better and he met Forlorn there.
No, apparently it said Zuckus was in horrible pain. It was said he was in horrible pain. It was hiding it so Vader wouldn't think he was weak.
He was a good actor. Yeah, he was pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Like, just... I had no idea. I had no idea he was alive in that scene. Oh, just kind of stood there.
Well, I guess Vader took pity on him because he has his own breathing problems.
Throughout the entire saga, Obi-Wan Kenobi is portrayed as a stately, wise, heroic Jedi, always doing what he must for the greater good. But during our conversation about Elon Sleaze-Bagano in episode 20 of Star Wars in Character, we uncover a theory of a possible underlying agenda from good old Ben.
We see him at the Outlander Club there, and I was about to say Revenge of the Sith.
You bet. But
apparently it's Attack of the Clones. Apparently. But he runs into Obi-Wan, and Obi-Wan uses his Jedi mind trick, instructing him to rethink his life, which he did. And he went home and did a complete overhaul of his life and broke his death stick addiction. However, he broke his addiction. But he still was a dealer. After that, he still dealt death sticks, but he was no longer an addict.
Oh, good job, Obi-Wan. You're quite the motivational speaker.
Yeah. And he was also a minor arms dealer after that.
So is there anyone that Obi-Wan's had an influence on in life that didn't turn out to be some kind of villainous scoundrel or lord of the galaxy and, a terrible person? He's pretty much like the worst person in the galaxy is what it comes down to.
Yeah, he's not a very good life coach.
No, not at all. Not unless he secretly was trying to undermine the entire galaxy one person at a time.
Yeah.
What's he uses the Jedi mind trick on him, and it seems to me to be such a powerful tool in a Jedi's arsenal to be able to just talk to somebody without using any violence and influence their life like that. And I was thinking back of all the movies, I think it was only 4 times in the movies is it ever used, and half of those times it fails.
You're right.
All right. Okay. Wait. There's Obi-Wan using it.
Mm-hmm. Twice.
In Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And he uses it twice.
Well, and this time.
Okay. There. Qui-Gon uses it once, mm-hmm. and it doesn't work. Oh yeah, and Luke uses it in Jedi, and it doesn't work.
Like it seems like such a powerful thing. It's only used 4 times, and twice it doesn't work. Why don't Jedis use it more? And for something more important than some, sleazebag drug dealer.
Oh, it's used 5 times.
When else?
Qui-Gon uses it twice in The Phantom Menace. He uses it against Boss Nass to get a bongo boat so they can get to Theed.
You can see why I overlooked that.
Yes, exactly.
What do you mean bongo boat? Come on, sounds like fun.
It's about time again to play a request from our Facebook page at facebook.com/StarWarsInCharacter. And this request comes from Stuart. This was an outtake from our episode about Wilro Hood. Before we started the actual episode, the recording was running and caught this off-topic clip of the 4 of us giving our best Bill Cosby impressions.
Special Star Wars holiday special fluffering fucking.
I was gonna say, yeah, here's what's really gonna happen. Join us next time when we present the special episode of the Star Wars holiday special.
Special. Man, it turns into Bill Cosby right there at the end.
Special. What?
Pudding pop.
Yellow pudding.
It's not made. There's pudding pop.
No, I don't think
make
so.
Those anymore.
Tim always did a really good Cosby. I would do that at the theater. He'd
pick your pages in the Rudy.
Bow. It was famous for being a horrible impersonation of Bill Cosby.
He would just come around. You gotta get your pages in that.
You know what's weird? Does he have a glass eye now?
No. I don't think so.
Talk to him. He's like a mess.
It's true. I was listening to that Bill Cosby. I own a bunch of Bill Cosby albums on CD, and I was listening to It's True, It's True a couple weeks ago.
I love Bill Cosby.
There are some great albums.
Wonderfulness.
I saw him in Lake City.
Every time I'm driving down the street by myself, I do that thing with the go-karts. I go, da-na-na-na-na-na-na. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Why is there air?
You sound like a televangelist.
Go around, idiot. Go around.
I know I'm going to say Willow Hood, too.
Don't say Willow
Hood.
I don't mean to. Oh. I'm ready.
Show Willow some respect.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This is almost done. Well, Matt's almost recording it anyway.
Yep.
Okay.
All
right,
luckily, I got all our Bill Cosby material on. With four panelists in three different states and all using different equipment, technical issues are our biggest obstacle when producing the podcast. Sometimes the issues are impossible to ignore, and the best thing to do is to acknowledge it and try to make the best of it. This clip from episode 19 about General Dodonna might be the perfect example of that statement we've recorded so far.
During this time, obviously, the rebellion was forming, and Mon Mothma, who I guess had lots of dealings with him during the Clone Wars, I believe she was a senator. She came to him many a time to offer him a position in the rebellion, and he was still, as I said earlier, a company man. So he was like, he thought that was traitorous, and he kept turning her down. He's like, no. He's like, I'm not going to rat you out, but I'm not going to join you. So he still held some loyalty until the Emperor, for some reason, just decided, you know what, that Yon guy over there on that planet I gave him, or that little moon I gave him, we have no more use for him at all. So we're gonna assassinate him. We're gonna send someone out to kill him.
Damn.
Yeah, and some spies found out about this and got back to Mon Mothma, and then she ran out there and told him that this is gonna happen, this assassination, and that's when he like got his shit together and was like, all right, I'll join you guys. So that is that. He joined the alliance basically to save his own life.
Okay, who's moving something around? Jeez, what is that goddamn noise?
Cracking up over.
What does it sound like?
Someone's holding a microphone and they're moving it.
It sounds like, yeah, like a tapping of the microphone or the cord is banging on something.
Dave actually wrote me a note and slid it over and said, "What is that fucking noise?"
Stop
is it
now,
still making that noise?
I haven't heard it.
Okay. Dodonna, when he had joined the alliance, his first thing was to help create mobile ground bases that they could move and leave very quickly from. So he formed several bases, but the two that we know of most of all, one only by name and one that we see, Dantooine, which is mentioned in A New Hope, and Yavin 4, which is the station that we see them do their battle from for the Death Star.
So Yavin is mobile? Like, it's like a MASH unit, like, you know, Klinger and Radar and Hawkeye and bullshit?
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, they can get in and out of their bases very quickly. They're relatively stripped down. They can leave at a relative moment's notice if need be, which is what happened in Hoth. You know, they took only the essentials and they got out of Dodge pretty quickly.
Are you out in a sandstorm?
It's like you're breathing into the mic now. What the hell's going on tonight?
Is it me?
Jeez. I don't know.
I'm holding the mic quite a distance from me.
He's got an oscillating fan.
I do have a fan. I do have a fan. Let me turn that off. It's not. Yeah.
Man alive. This is the technical nightmare show.
All right. Where were we?
All right.
Madonna.
No, I got something to say about Yavin.
Good.
I don't remember what it is.
Lately, there's been a bit of outcry and support for Tim.
Some people think the rest of us might be a little too hard on him or give him a little too much flack, or for whatever reason, this Leave Tim Alone movement seems to have begun. Before this movement gets too out of control, I present this clip from episode 22 featuring Zet Jukasa in our defense.
You know, his name, the actor's name is Jet Lucas, and they changed his character's name is Zet Jukasa, which is a play on the name. For some, and I never heard this before, but they call that when you take a person's name and change it around just enough, it's called a Tuckerization.
Why?
I had never heard of this. I don't know if this is something strictly Lucasfilm related, because I know George Lucas produced the movie Tucker. Hmm. But I don't know why they call it a Tuckerization. It's weird. And on Wikipedia, there's actually a link for it, but it doesn't really give the history as to why it's called a Tuckerization.
Did the kid come up with his own name? Because I know that part of one of the things that people hated...
Tim, another 2 seconds of research.
I don't think he came up with his own name.
Tuckerization is the act of using a person's name in the original story as an in-joke. The term is derived from Wilson Tucker, a pioneering American science fiction writer and fanzine editor who made the practice of using his friends' names for minor characters of his stories. 2 seconds, okay. Tim. 2 seconds
was
of work.
Was this on Wikipedia or
no,
Wikipedia?
No, it was not. Wikipedia. 2 seconds.
The internet.
Two seconds, Tim. That's 4 seconds of work I had to do for you.
What the fuck is the internet?
But like you said, he didn't think he did his name. But I know that when people were raging, and I may have even been one of them, about Jar Jar Binks and all that crap that went down. One of the things that people I think were angry about, and I remember this, is that Lucas said in an interview he let his kid name some of the characters.
Yeah, that's right.
And they were often, it may have even been Jar Jar, they were often some of the dumber names. Was it this kid? Was it Jet? Did he name some Star Wars characters?
Probably,
yeah. I mean, I guess when Episode One was coming out, again, I don't know exactly how old he is. The kid is in college, I would think, right now. So he's probably in his, like, probably 2021. So, yeah. When Jar Jar was made, he would have been, like, 7, 6, maybe. I don't know.
What's weird, it says here that during production, the character's name changed several times. It was first scripted as Titty Jukasa.
I did see these.
It'd be named Tado Jukasa and then just Tado before it became Zet Jukasa.
And another 2 seconds of research tells me that Jet Lucas is currently 18 years old.
Okay. I didn't think that the age was going to come.
What are you doing, Matt? What is it that you're looking at? Tell us.
It's called effort.
It's called Google.
It's called caring about producing a quality show. Apparently Tim doesn't.
Zinger.
Ever since Chris started including various Star Wars soundboards in the podcast, he's quickly perfected the subtle art of audio drops. And none better than this clip requested on our Facebook page by Eric. From our episode featuring Yaddle, here's the soundboard maestro at the top of his game.
The last little thing I have is Yaddle was a puppet, obviously, operated by a puppeteer by Phil Eason. Yeah, he's done a lot of puppetry on many films, and the three that popped out to me were Little Shop of Horrors, Lost in Space, and the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the film version that had Sam Rockwell from a few years back. He had a few other credits, but these are the three most prominent ones.
So you're saying that there was a male's hand up there? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sting.
Just wanted to make sure. Good.
And that's all I got.
There's nothing that makes her female other than long hair. I mean, it's like a pretty simplistic view of the galaxy to think that the female version of Yoda would just have long hair.
Yeah. And he gets older, all the hair is on the side of his head and not on the top.
Yeah.
When Yaddle has it all on top of her head.
But the first thing I thought
her hairline is pretty high up. I mean, I'm looking at a picture of her right now, and she's got like a 5 instead of a 4 head. She's got like a 5 head. It goes way back to like the middle of her head.
But there's no hair on the sides. Like, that's what's weird. Like, female has...
There's a little bit of hair on the side, yeah.
I bet there is.
She has the opposite of a landing strip.
Oh!
Oh, jeez.
See what you've done.
I said nothing.
How would it sound? Now, how would it sound if Yoda and Yaddle had some alone time in the tree trunk together?
Now, which is which?
Away with your weapon! I mean, to harm.
That was Yaddle.
Okay.
Oh, Christ.
Oh.
This next clip is also conveniently a Facebook page request. This request was made by Brent, and it's a trip down memory lane for Dave and Chris from episode 23 about Chief Chirpa.
Well, I think, Dave, we should mention this one's about Ewoks, about our days in chorus.
Oh, yeah.
I was waiting for this story, yeah.
Sydney, you were going to bring that up, and I forgot all about that till now. Go ahead. Would you like to explain?
What grade was it? Seventh or eighth?
It was seventh grade.
There you go. Seventh grade when we had to sing the celebration song at the end of Jedi, but it was in Ewok knees, whatever that language is.
Yeah, what was it called again? Tim?
Yeah.
What's up?
The Ewok language.
I just put the paper down.
Oh, sorry for you having to pick up the paper.
Sorry that you were dumb.
Kalmyk. It's based on Kalmyk.
Well, like Matt said, the word Ewok never appears in the movie. When were they called Ewoks, and who called them Ewoks? Was that just like another Kenner thing? Because to me, it sounds like Kenner did as much work on Star Wars as George Lucas did.
I think George Lucas came up with the name Ewok, or someone in Lucasfilm came up with the name Ewok, and they probably told Kenner and all their merchandising people that this species is called Ewok.
Okay. So this was
No one ever says it. And it actually might even say it in the credits. It might say Ewok.
Really?
That's possible.
Like Ewok Warrior. Like, some of them will have names like Logray. They did actually have these names in the credits, but I'm pretty sure it just says Ewok.
That may be possible. I hadn't checked that.
Me neither. But we just sing it in English.
English? Oh, well, yeah. Oh, I thought you meant your English class. I was like, wait, I thought it was course. No. I got it. Yep.
Both languages, Ewok knees, whatever Tim said, and in English.
Yeah, I remember the. And did the teacher play it on the piano, or was it a recording? Like, did she hit
I have no idea.
I think she actually had sheet music, and she sat at the piano and banged this crap out on the piano.
I think me and you were loving it because it was from Star Wars. We were just singing real high, real loud.
Yeah. Now, you also, I mean, at least I'm going to defend myself in saying that I was in chorus. But I was made to be there by my mother. I don't know why you were there.
Me chicks.
You're going to sing, damn it.
Yeah, there was probably about 40 kids in this chorus, and there was 5 dudes.
Yeah. Yes, there was.
And, I remember she started playing it, and the first verse was in Ewokese.
Right.
And then the second verse was in English.
Yeah.
And we had to sing this in front of people.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you actually remember it? I remember parts, not...
I sing it now. Sing it.
I remember it was like dun 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 dun. Yeah. Yub nub.
Yeah.
Come on.
Each up a yub nub.
I told me to put your keen. Canoop dot fling. Oh ah.
And then freedom.
We got freedom.
I told you we got freedom.
Don't you listen? And then it was like goob da 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 da
freedom
dip da 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 yum num dip da 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 da
dope dope cheap and
we sat there.
But there's another verse then after that, after the whole freedom shit.
It was like glow wa.
Yeah.
Each up glow wa. Don't meet to put your keen.
Yeah.
Ganoop doc fling. Oh oh.
And every time we went
What's the English equivalent of that? Shoot me in my head.
I guarantee you there's a website out there that has it.
For some reason, I seem to remember in elementary school singing that in a singing assembly.
Tim, I think you just sang that on your own in school.
You're just jealous that me and Dave were in chorus.
That brings us up to episode 24 of Star Wars in Character and our episode about Queen Jamilia from episode 2, Attack of the Clones. In this clip, Dave starts to warm up to this character the more he hears about her. Now, if he could only remember one specific thing about her.
She could have been queen longer because I guess while she was queen, there was the war and whatnot, but it ends on a high note with Boss Nass and that disco ball.
Yep.
So things are good, but she steps down. This girl takes over and everything goes to hell.
Well, I mean, you can't really blame her. I wouldn't blame Jamilia. I don't. The whole Republic was in the shit can, I think, at that point. So it's not necessarily Jamilia's fault. But, you know, if you look at the timeline of, you know, when Padme steps down, Jamilia takes over, and the next queen that we see in Revenge of the Sith is there. Jamilia was a one-term queen, because I guess Revenge of the Sith takes place 3 or 4 years later, and we see another queen in the role in that film.
So do you think she wasn't reelected because things had gone bad?
Probably. There was probably a feeling on Naboo of things just not going the way that they possibly could be going in the galaxy, so they take it out on their own queen.
It's really more Amidala's fault for fostering the role of Palpatine in her administration.
Yeah, doing that whole no confidence thing in poor old Chancellor Valorum that we've come to love so well.
I'm feeling a little bad here for what's her name?
Jamilia. Yeah.
She inherited a damaged, what do you want to call it? Not presidency, leadership role. The one that they all think is doing a great job really screwed everything up. And poor, what's her name?
I gotta buy a new mic. It's covered with beer now. Thanks, Dave.
She comes out stinking. This is like American politics.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and again, she's
for the whole queen royalty thing, but yeah, it's like American politics.
she's coming in, you know, taking over for what the Naboo people think of as a very popular queen, you know. And if and they thought, please stay, we don't want anybody else. She's like, no, I'm not going to stay. Whoever goes in that, it doesn't care. I don't care who you are. Whoever goes into that role is already going to be like, well, yeah, but she's not as good as. So obviously, their expectations for Queen Jamilia were a little lower. And no matter what she did, she probably couldn't live up to their expectations as to how they felt Amidala was doing.
This is much more interesting than I thought it was going to be. No, because the political innuendos. I'm trying to think. I mean, maybe I'm giving Lucas more credit than he deserves here.
Probably.
But is this an indictment on the 1980s? Maybe Ronald Reagan is a successful, much beloved president.
Well,
yeah.
I think I've got something here. When Reagan left office, things were high. The economy was good, but maybe the future was mortgaged to have a successful present. And then in comes George Herbert Walker Bush, one term president.
Wow.
Like Queen. What's her? Jamilia.
That's it.
Jamilia.
That's it.
And then followed by another successful president, Bill Clinton. And who did you say the queen after that was?
Queen
George W. Bush. Are we talking? Wait.
Queen Nayutni.
Oh, God.
Nayutni?
Bless you.
Nayutni. Yeah, I'm not sure how that one's pronounced.
I'm giving George some credit here. I'm saying that this is a parallel. This is his take on the Reagan era. I just love sitting here with Chris and watching his eyes gloss over.
You know, mine are too. I don't even know what Tim just said.
I'll be fucking honest. I don't give two shits about any of this politics shit. Real life, or what's going on in the Star Wars world.
We have made it through the second set of 12 episodes of Star Wars in Character in this second best of episode. But we do have one more request on deck to share. In fact, it was a multiple Facebook member request. So for Lance, Jesse, Chris, and Bill, here is Chris does a dramatic reading.
Well, Chris, by popular demand, your services are being called upon once again. As we here at Star Wars in Character present, Chris does a dramatic reading.
There's a nobody there. The Gunga City is deserted. Some kind of fight, I think.
Do you think they have been taken to camps? More likely they were wiped out.
Yes, I don't think so.
Do you know where they are?
When in trouble, go to secret place, Mr. Show You. Come on, Mr. Show You.
I am Queen Amidala of the Naboo. I come before you in peace.
I can't read that word. Naboo Bacon used to bring in the Mackiness. Mackinese?
You so all bombed.
We wish to form an alliance, Your Honor. I am Queen Amidala. This is my decoy, my protection, my loyal bodyguard. I am sorry for my deception, but it was necessary to protect myself. Although we do not always agree, Your Honor, our two great societies have always lived in peace. The Trade Federation has destroyed all that we have worked so hard to build. If we do not act quickly, all will be lost forever. I ask you to help us. No, I beg you to help us. We are your humble servants. Our fate is in your hands.
You sir no dinkin', you sir greater than the Gungans? Me sir like this, maybe we should be friends.
Did you knock the mic over?
You sir don't grand George or bring in the Dabu together. So that's a make it you sir Bombay General.
General? Oh no!
I was about to say we are never doing that again until you knocked your mic over, and that was pretty funny.
I lost my headphones, Matt.
Okay.
I shook my head so hard, my headphones got
That's actually even funnier.
Then I kept on reading that no one could even hear me.
You actually saved the bit because I was like, never again. I don't care who likes it. I can't take it.
That was way better acting than Natalie Portman.
No, it was. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
You know, it's weird. They were so small, I couldn't see where the bubbles were coming from, who it was pointing to.
You put way more emotion and thought into that than she did.
We hope you've enjoyed this best of episode put together in preparation of the episode 50 live webcast taking place Sunday, April 22nd at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We hope you can join us. It takes place only at www.neozaz.com/SWICLive. That's SWIC Live. If you enjoy the show but haven't checked out our Facebook page, you're missing half the fun because we have got a lot of fun discussions, posts, pictures, and links by a lot of funny and interesting people. So if you haven't yet, check it out at facebook.com/StarWarsInCharacter. We also have a homepage for the podcast. You can find all our links there, as well as hear all the episodes online directly from that site, and that is www.swic.neozaz.com. And lastly, you can email us anytime at the address swic@neozaz.com. So for myself and on behalf of Chris, Tim, and Dave, thanks for listening to this best of episode of Star Wars in Character, and we hope to see you at the 50th episode live webcast.
Thanks for listening to Star Wars in Character. Star Wars in Character is part of the NeoZaz.com network of podcasts. For more great podcasts and original entertainment, please visit www.neozaz.com. Star Wars in Character is not affiliated with nor endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox. Star Wars and all Star Wars universe characters, places, or Star Wars-related items are the copyright of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. Visit www.swic.neozaz.com for the latest Star Wars in Character episodes and information.